I want to go to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. This is really going to kind of be our scripture for today. John 15, 1 through 8. And I'm going to invite you just to stand just for the reading of God's word for a quick moment. John 15, 1 through 8. I don't have a long word today. I have a very simple word that I want to give us that I believe God is going to deposit in our hearts to change us. John 15, verse 1. It says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing. Everybody say nothing. You can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. And prove to be my disciples. As we have declared that this is the year of multiplication, I want to preach from this theme and thought and call today's message the miracle of multiplication. Can you look at the person that you're standing next to and say, hey, family, happy new year. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Find somebody else across the room. Say, hey, family. Happy New Year. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Father, we thank you for your grace and power. Would you speak to us in this moment? We believe in faith that this is the year of multiplication. This is the year where we will see you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. In Jesus' name, and every person who believes that said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat. Amen. The miracle of multiplication. I want to start off by saying this, family. Multiplication rules are different than subtraction and addition. When we lean into addition problems, and I hate to break do all of this because I know our students are so excited about going to school tomorrow. Parents, I'm pretty sure many of you are praising God right now, and y'all are praying against any potential snow that could come our way. But when I think about addition and multiplication, I think about how different their rules are. When you think about math problems and addition, many of us are familiar with common problems of addition. 2 + 2, for instance, we know is 4. Some of y'all got this new age math where you say, is it really 4? 2 + 2, we get 4. Then you get 4 + 4, that gives you 8. 10 plus 10, 20. So on and so forth. Then we get to multiplication. 2 × 2, we say, is 4. 4 × 4, we would say, is 16. Some of us are like, wait a minute, it's starting to get a little tight right now. 10 × 10, we say, is. And some of y'all are real smart right now. You're like, Pastor, this is too easy. This is easy work. I got one for you. 27 times 19. No amens. 513. See, come on, y'all. Get your math skills up. I'm already there. Nah, I Googled that. I'm not even gonna lie. But then you got other numbers like 249 times 326. When we start to get to those type of numbers, it's hard to do that in our head. 81,222, something around there. My point in saying this is, when it starts talking about multiplication, the rules change. When we start talking about problems of multiplication and math of multiplication, how we do things when it comes to adding things versus how we multiply things, the numbers grow exponentially. And when I think about that, I think about here in John 15. Because here in John chapter 15, it brings us in this chapter to
One of was known as Jesus' seven I am statements. He says oftentimes, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the good shepherd. He starts off by saying, I am. And there's so much significance with this because in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God is commissioning Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, Moses says, who will I tell him sent me? He says, tell him, I am. I am sent you. And I am represents this sacred name of God. I am essentially represents this holy, that we just sung about, this holy name of God. In the Old Testament, God was essentially telling Moses, I am that I am. Meaning this, I am everything that you need me to be. And when I think about as we start this year off, there's going to be so many things that many of us may not know is coming down the pike. There will be so many things that we experienced that we did not see coming. And many of us might find ourselves in situations and in problems where we're trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And what will I do about this situation? And what will I do about this situation? Can I remind you of what God told Moses when Moses was asking him questions, trying to figure out how God would do what he would do, that the name of God is still applicable now, just as it was back then, that just as God was I am to Moses, he is also I am to you. I'm here to let you know that whatever you need God to be this year, he will be that. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. He is healer. He is the one who is the banner. He is the good shepherd. He is the light of the world, which means this, as you go through 2025, you don't have to walk in fear because the great I am is with you. But when Jesus says, I am here, in John 15, he says this, I am the true vine. And it's interesting because when we use this word vine is a picture of a life-giving source that branches are connected to. But it's interesting that Jesus says, I am the true vine, because what that would also imply is that there are some fake vines, some false vines. That there's some false connections. I don't know if you've ever tried to hook up a laptop or a phone with the wrong charger. You ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been in a situation where your phone was dying and you reached for a charger thinking that it was the charger and that it would solve your problem, only to figure out that when you actually tried to plug it in, it was the wrong charger and your phone died? I can't think of a more depressing thing to happen. You had the wrong connection. It could not give you exactly what it was that you needed in your most deplorable and difficult and dark place. And I wonder how many of us might be connected to some false vines in our life. Because Jesus says, I am the true vine, which means that there's some other vines and some other places that you can connect with. But those places won't give you what you need. There are some false vines that when we're connected, it leads to nothing because they don't have the capacity and the ability to provide what's needed for those branches in Jesus' time or in any other type of capacity to produce fruit. Can I say it like this? Rotten vines produce rotten fruit. And along with Jesus mentioning that he is the true vine, here in John 15, he also speaks about how branches, though they may be connected to the vine, can be fruitless, meaning this. You can be attached but not be producing. Doesn't mean that there's always an issue with the vine, but it might also mean rather that there's something wrong with the connection. And as Jesus gives this visual of branches being connected to a vine but being fruitless, he's teaching this truth. He says that there may be some people who on the surface look like they're connected to me, but they aren't really rooted in me. They give the impression, but there's no fruit to show for it. More specifically, if you were to look throughout the biblical account, it puts into mind people like a Judas, that though he was around Jesus, he wasn't truly connected to Jesus, which is a cautionary tale for us as we start this year, family, that we need to be mindful of knowing that just because I come into a church service like this, it does not automatically mean that I'm connected to Christ. Now, it can be a bridge to me connecting to Christ, which we'll talk about in a moment, but just because I step foot in this building, it does not mean that I'm connected to a vine. Just like if I step into a car, a garage, it doesn't make me a car. Just like if I step in the gym, I'm not going to lose 50 pounds all of a sudden. Come on. It means that I got to be connected. Somebody say connected. And when Jesus is talking about this, he's helping us to understand that if we're not careful, our lives cannot be producing at the level in which that they should. Here's what I've recognized in my own 39 years of living, is that you and I can live life functioning but not flourishing. We could be going through the motions in life but not be flourishing and becoming everything that God has called us to be. We can go to a job but not have any joy. We can have a home but not be happy. We can be in a relationship but still have resentment. We can be a student and still feel significant. And in verse 6, Jesus says, if anyone is not connected to him, it leads to a life that withers. And the principle is this, that when we try to do life on our own apart from Jesus, it often leads to decay. That when we try to do life apart from who Jesus is, our life will not. The inside. But I want to encourage you with this, that no matter where you find yourself in life, the good news is this, is that Jesus's desire for your life is that you would flourish and experience his increase. His desire is that you would experience his multiplying power and grace and mercy in your life. Which is why he says this in John 10 and 10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And I get encouraged by Jesus' words because it lets me know that no matter how bad my life might be, and no matter how much I might be struggling, and no matter how hard things might be right now, Jesus came from heaven to bring and to give a life that's greater than the life that I'm living right now. Here's what this means. Life is not found in a new job. Life isn't found in a new pair of shoes. Life is not found in a new relationship. Life is not found in another bottle. Life is not found in another blunt. For some of us who are struggling in any way with shame and with grief and with sin and with hope and with direction for life, I'm here to let you know Jesus came for you and I to experience his abundant, everlasting, gracious, merciful, filled life. And if some of you are honest, you know the only reason that you made it through 2024 and the only reason you made it to where you are today is because of the grace of God and because of the goodness of God and because of the mercy of God and because of the faithfulness of God. The reason why you have made it through all the darkness that you have made it through is not because of luck. It's not because of the universe. It's not because of coincidence. It's not because of good fortune. It's not because of coincidence or whatever the case may be. No, it is only because you had goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. And I just want to know, is there anybody here on this first Sunday of the new year that can say the reason why I am where I am today is because of the grace of God? It's because of his grace on my life. And here in this text in John 15, in many ways, it points to a word that is seen over and over in Scripture. And it's this word, multiplication. And this word multiplication in the Bible, here's what it means. I want you to write this down. It literally means this, to increase greatly in number. Can I let you know that God's desire is for you and I to experience multiplication? Matter of fact, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when God created everything and he created mankind, here's what he said to them. He says this, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Then when you go over to the New Testament in Matthew 28, Jesus doesn't use those same exact words, but the principle's still there. Go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, he said, fill the earth with my people. And then as you continue to look all throughout the course of the scripture, you constantly see over and over this principle of multiplication. You constantly see how multiplication is something that God desires
to take place in the lives of his people. Here's what I'm saying. God wants your life to experience increase. God wants your life to go from, here's what 2 Corinthians says, glory to glory to glory. Meaning no matter what 2024 looked like, when the grace of God hits your life, you can go from glory to glory to glory to glory. And even here in John chapter 15, verse 8, one of the two words that you hear the Lord Jesus mention over and over and over is this word fruit. Everybody say fruit. What is fruit? I'm not talking about strawberries and bananas and blueberries and cranberries and kiwi and grapefruit. So nasty in Jesus' name. I don't know what God's thought process was with making grapefruit. But when we get to heaven, maybe we'll find out. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you tripping. Grapefruit is from God. I think grapefruit tasted good before the fall. But I think once the fall happened, everything changed. But over and over, here's what you see in John 15. Fruit, fruit, fruit. What is fruit in the Bible? It speaks to many things. One of the things is character. So Galatians chapter 5 says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're going to do a whole series on the fruit of the Spirit later this year. But here's what I want you to know about fruit. Fruit takes time to grow. It takes time. You can't plant an apple seed today and expect to get an apple today. It takes time to grow, but there's something to show for it. Here's another picture of what fruit oftentimes represents in the scripture. It also can speak to calling, one's purpose, fulfilling God's call on your life, the gifts and the abilities that God has given you to be able to work in any space and place that you find yourself in. Somebody like Joseph in the Old Testament was living a fruitful life because God gave him this incredible gift of being able to have dreams and interpret dreams as well. And God used that gift to lead a whole nation to flourish. Then you look elsewhere in the scripture and how God anointed the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel wherever he went. And so now you find the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel in places like a prison. He's living a fruitful life in a confined space, which helps us to understand something about the multiplying power and grace of God, that the conditions do not have to be perfect for multiplication to take place. Because when God's grace hits it, things begin to change. And so over and over in the course of scripture, you constantly see calling and character. But another thing that you also see is capacity and competencies in all these different places. And here's what I believe most of us here today want to experience. I believe that all of us in here today and online under the sound of my voice, you want to live a fruitful life. You want to live a productive life. You want to live out your purpose. You want to live out your calling. You want to have meaningful relationships. You want to flourish as a student. You want to leave a legacy for others to be able to follow. You want your family to thrive. You want to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. But here is what I'm saying, that in order for us to experience multiplication in our lives, you have to have one key, and that key has a name, and his name is Jesus. If you don't get anything else out of this message for the next 10 minutes, I need you to understand this, that the key to multiplication in your life is not through your own ingenuity. It's not by your own power. It's not by your own ability. It's only going to come by one name, and that name is the name of Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. He is the true life source. He is the one that we live, move, and have our being. It's going to come through him. I know for some of us, you're like, Pastor, that's so common knowledge. But even though it's so common knowledge, we don't trust that. So we trust in ourselves. But I want to help you with this, that if we're going to experience the miracle of multiplication in our lives, it's attached to this. I want you to write this down. Being connected to Jesus. Somebody say, be connected. I got to be connected to Jesus. I want you to notice verses 4 through 5 in John 15. Here's what the Bible says. Remain in me. And I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 5, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Can I help you understand that if you want to live a fruitful life, if you want to see the multiplying power of God in your life, it starts with being connected and being close to Jesus. You never see a branch producing fruit apart from the vine. But when that branch is connected, fruit begins to sprout up. Jesus is saying the same thing. That when you're disconnected from me, I'm the life source. That without me, your branch withers, your life withers. But he says, but when you're connected to me, your life experiences fruitfulness. Your life experiences his goodness. And as I came into this year, one of the things that I was sensing God saying for us coming into this year is a lot of times we like to ask questions like, is God with me? We just celebrated the Christmas season, Emmanuel, which means God with us. We know that he's with us. That's not the question. The question is not, is God with me? The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we with God? Not, God, are you with me? But I need to be asking, God, am I with you? Am I where you want me to be? Am I in relationship with you? Am I thirsting and hungering for righteousness so that I can be filled like Matthew 5 and 6 says? Am I where you want me to be? Am I tapped into prayer? Am I drawing close to you? I'm here to let you know that the question is not, will God be with you? He will always be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God for that. But the bigger question is, will we be with him? That's the question. And I like this because when we think about Jesus saying that he is the vine and we're the branches, it's this imagery of how when you and I are connected, we experience this multiplying factor in power in our lives. It's amazing, y'all, how one apple seed tree can give way to hundreds of apples on a tree. It's amazing how from one root, so much fruit can come. Can I let you know that's what God wants to do in your life? But you need the root in your life. They call him in the scriptures the root of Jesse. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm here to let you know that if you got the right root in your life, the fruit will eventually show in your life. If you want your relationships to look better, put Jesus at the center of it. If you want your life to look different, put Jesus at the center of it. I'm not giving some hope and pie in the sky saying that if Jesus is there, nothing else will happen. No, he says that in this life, you will have much trouble. But he also gives us encouragement. But he says, but take joy because I've already overcome the world. Thank God that we got a Savior who says, if you get connected to me, I'll feed you, I'll sustain you, I'll take care of you, I'll cover you, I'll nourish you, I'll provide for you, I'll bless you, I'll hold you. So it's got to be connected. I got to be close. 2025 got to be the year where we get connected to Christ. And for those of us who are connected to Christ, to get closer to Christ. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:10. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing of his sufferings and the fellowship of his, I want to know Christ. Paul says, nothing else in my life is more important than knowing Jesus. Can I help you understand something? When you make Jesus the focal point of your life, everything else in your life begins to take care of itself. This is why he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Can I let you know that word added actually speaks of his multiplying power? When you think added, you might think little by little, but really, really what he has in mind is it's going to increase greatly. Y'all, can I let you know that the key to experiencing God's abundant grace in your life like never before is being connected to the grace giver, is being connected to the vine. And some of us have been trying to figure out, why has my life been drying up? Maybe it's because I wasn't connected. And here's what I've recognized. Sometimes God will allow things to dry up in our life so that way we can see that we need him more than anything else. Sometimes God will allow things to decay in our life, not to punish us, but to draw us to himself. Because oftentimes what happens is we begin to place our faith and our trust in people and in possessions and in abilities more than anything else. And I'm here to let us know that when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, that is when you are connected to the incredible eternal life source. So I say be connected. I want you to write this down, that my productivity in life is the result of my proximity to Christ. My productivity in life is the result of my proximity to Christ. And what I love about this verse, and what I love about that statement, is that it helps us to understand this, that even when we feel far from Jesus, he isn't far from us. Even when we drift and fall short and fail to cultivate closeness with him, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is he does not turn his back on us. Matter of fact, that should be a place where all of us should give thanks to God, because none of us have gotten it right all the time. Many of us have fallen short, myself included. Many of us have said things that we should not have said. Many of us have been disobedient, and we've gone against the ways of God, and we've gone against the word of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, did not cast us to the side. No, he drew close to us. No, when we were pushing him away, he came close to us. When we were thinking about God, God was always thinking about us. Thank God that we got a faithful Savior in Jesus Christ, who has always had us on his mind, who has always been present with us, who has always been consistent. Which now leads to this second point. Because he's been consistent with us, we need to be consistent with him. Somebody say, be consistent. Here's the word that Jesus says over and over. He says, remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. Here's what he said: be consistent. So it's one thing to be connected to the vine. It's a whole other thing to continue to grow in that connection to the vine. It says, be consistent. That word remains, it means to stay in one place for a long and extended period of time. Remain. 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 Stay consistent. Someone was like, Pastor, I got a problem with consistency. I want to argue that none of us actually have a problem with consistency. The issue is we're oftentimes consistent with the wrong things, which then leads to us not being consistent with the right things. So we consistently go on YouTube, consistently go to Netflix. Come on, don't get quiet now. Come on, we consistently do certain things, and I'm not saying that any of those things are inherently wrong, but we don't have a consistency problem. Oftentimes, we're not consistent with the things that God is inviting us to be consistent with, and what he's inviting us to be consistent with is to be consistent with him. So he wants us to consistently show up. Can I let you know and encourage you? You are already on the right track to start this year, because you are in the house of the Lord on the first Sunday in January. Praise God. It took everything for some of you all to get here this morning in the midst of all the things that you faced this week and faced this morning, but yet you showed up. That's some element of consistency. And I want to encourage you that what has started today, Jesus is inviting us to continue the rest of this year. Because if you're seeing what God is doing in just a few moments of being in his presence, imagine what he can do with 364 more days as we consistently draw close to him, as we consistently lift up hands, as we consistently seek him in prayer, as we consistently get in the word, as we consistently fast, and as we consistently forgive, and as we consistently obey. Imagine what our lives will look like by the end of this year if we would be consistent. And with the enemy, he knows, because he doesn't have the power to take you out, he wants to wear you out, to get you to quit. But this is why the Bible says in Galatians 6, don't get weary in well-doing. Because if you don't quit, you'll reap a harvest. Can I encourage some of us in here today who the enemy is speaking in your mind right now? He's encouraging some of us right now to quit. I don't know what it is to quit on and to stop or whatever the case may be. I'm not talking about quitting the bad things. I'm talking about he's trying to encourage some of you to quit the good things, to quit the godly things. Can I encourage you right now that if you continue to stay faithful and stay consistent and stay diligent and keep showing up and keep following Jesus, imagine what your life will look like. I believe in faith that God has greater things on the other side of your consistency. He has greater things on the other side of your faithfulness to him. He has greater things on the other side of you pressing towards the mark. My prayer for some of us this year is not that you would get more money. It's not that you would get a new job. It's not that you would get a new bae. No, my prayer for some of us is that you would get more endurance. Because my God, if we get the endurance, the stamina to stand in the midst of opposition when it comes, on the other side of that, God has something great. Endurance. Remain, to stay. Here's what the Bible says In Psalm 1, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Verse 2, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. Watch this. And he meditates on it day and night. Day and night. What is it that helps us to stay consistent with Jesus? Spiritual disciplines and routines. I want to be real practical. It means every single day I need to be in the Word. Pastor, that's hard. No, it's really not. 5 minutes in the Word. Get in it. Because as I get in it, it gets in me. Amen. Pastor, I don't like to read. There's audio Bible. Put it on something. Put some headphones in. Pastor, I don't know where to read. Just start, and God will meet you there. Be consistent. Be in His Word. Be in prayer. When we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're not just doing this just because it sounds good. No. We're trying to create a rhythm and a habit of tapping into the presence of God on a daily, consistent basis. So we want to start our day with God, and we want to end our day with God. Why? Because He is the beginning, and He's also the end, and He's the God of the in-between. So we start our day with God, and we end our day with God, and we go throughout our day with God. Be consistent. Have some prayer time. Maybe instead of being on Facebook and on Instagram and on TikTok, burning out. Come on, let's be real. We burn hours upon hours doing this. And then we say, I don't got no time to get into work. Come on. We'll spend hours watching people play games on YouTube. That's crazy. I'm still trying to fathom that. Hold on. You watch people to play games instead of actually playing a game? I'm trying to figure that out. No shade. I'm just saying, I'm stuck. But here's what I'm trying to help us understand. That to build these spiritual disciplines, I got to be consistent. I gotta be in this rhythm of constantly seeking Him. So on Wednesday, when we have 6 a.m. prayer, unless you gotta be at work, 7 o'clock, if you gotta be at work, tap in online. But if you can get here physically, get here. Saturday morning prayer, get here. Sunday morning worship, get here. When Connect groups start up in February, get in one. Why? Because these are spiritual disciplines and routines that allow us to bear fruit in our lives. This helps us to draw closer to Jesus Christ, and it helps us to be consistent with Him. Which now leads to this last thing, and then I'm done. That to experience the multiplying power of God in our life, it's about being connected to Christ. It's also about being consistent with Jesus. But here's what happens. It puts us in position to be changed by Jesus. I want you to go to verse 8 because here's what it says. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Here's what Jesus is helping us understand. He wants to change and transform our life. That if we would simply just be connected, He'll do the change work. That if we simply would draw close to Him, He'll do the transforming. And the enemy has convinced some of us that you got to change before you Jesus. I'm here to let you know, when you change, when you come to Jesus, He'll change you. You don't have to change to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus all messed up. Come to Jesus all broken up. Come to Jesus not knowing what's going on here. Come to Jesus a nervous wreck. Come to Jesus depressed. Come to Jesus filled with anxiety. Come to Jesus stressed out. Why? Because when you come to Jesus, He'll begin to change your life and begin to transform your life and begin to renew your life. And begin to produce fruit in your life. Come to Jesus and watch Jesus transform your life. Here's what 2 Peter 1:1-2 says. This is scripture again. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Watch verse 3. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything required for life. And God, can I let you know that when you get in Christ, He's given you everything that you need for life. He's given you everything that you need in life. When you get connected to Christ, you got the life source. You got the life giver. You got the great I am. When you get connected to Jesus Christ, you got everything that you need in him. I'm here to let some of us know in here today who are struggling to have hope and are struggling to have confidence. I'm here to let you know hope is found in Jesus Christ. Confidence is found in Jesus Christ. Clarity is found in Jesus Christ. Comfort is found in Jesus Christ. Provision is found in Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know everything that you need is found in him. He'll bring forth a change. He'll bring forth a transformation. Which means this, if you're going to go to a new place with God and experience his goodness in a greater way, then that might mean some things got to get trimmed back. Some things got cut back. Maybe it's some old practices. Maybe it's some old perspectives. Maybe it's some people. But I believe that Jesus is inviting us to be changed by him. And part of that changing and transformation in our life is that he cuts some things away. And I know for some of us, you're like, man, cutting never feels good. And when I get a cut, it doesn't feel good at all. Can I let you know that the cutting that Jesus does, it may not always feel good, but it is for the good. And it's for the good because it's going to lead to greater fruitfulness down the road. You might not see it initially, but God will get glory out of that in some capacity. God will use this to glorify himself, and he will use this for your good, which is why the Bible says that we know that in all things, God works for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm here to let you know that this is the year of multiplication, that God wants to usher you into a new place and into a new season of life. But it all starts with you being connected to the vine, that apart from him, you and I could do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. So the question I want to ask us today, I want to invite us to stand to our feet, is this. With things right now, is God inviting us to be cut from? He's inviting us this morning to be connected, to be consistent, so we can be changed. If you want this year to be different, it starts here. Being connected to the vine. If you want this year to be different, it starts with the simple, most powerful truth that you will ever hear. Being in relationship, proximity to Jesus. I could have preached a message that could have excited us. Told you you'll be a millionaire by March. God is going to answer all your prayers in 5 days. That's not real life. Don't get me wrong. God can do that. Don't get it twisted. If he can part the Red Sea, he can sure enough do that. But what I mean by when I say that's not real life, that's not the ultimate thing God wants to do. The ultimate thing that God wants to do in your life is for you to be connected to him. Because in your connection with him, you experience his multiplying grace and mercy in your life. And if this is the year of multiplication, which I believe that it is, I also believe that this is going to be the most fruitful year you will ever live to date. Pastor, how can you say that? Because Jesus says it. Do you notice in the book of John 15, verses 1 through 8, how there's a progression when Jesus mentions fruit? He first starts off by saying, the one who produces fruit. Then he says, more fruit. And then by the end in verse 8, he says, much fruit. Do you see the progression? He goes from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. It is a picture of going from glory to glory to glory. I'm here to let you know that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine in your life this year. That God does want to take you from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. But that also means there'll be some valleys in there. Yes, but on the other side of every valley, there's also another mountain. I'm here to let you know in Jesus' name that he wants to grow your life this year. He wants to bring forth increase into your life this year. He wants to multiply his grace in your life this year. But it all starts with you being connected to him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I want this year to be different. I want to experience the multiplying power of God in my life. But I know for a fact I'm not connected to Christ. Today is the day for you to experience that connection. So if you're here this morning and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you're not connected to him, I want to invite you to be connected to him today. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I want to get connected to Christ. I need him. I've been doing life on my own for so long, and it has not worked. But today, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to start this year by starting it with Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, this is your day of new beginning. Two, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed away. On the count of three, if you want a new relationship with Christ, shoot your hand up. One, two, three, wherever you are. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, slip those hands up. I just want to see you. Come on, wherever you are. Amen. Amen. For every hand lifted in this place this morning, I want you to say these words after me. It is a prayer of faith. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. We will be in relationship with him. So if this is you this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for resurrecting for me. I receive your life and I receive your love. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, can we put our hands together and celebrate those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on, can we celebrate? I saw some hands go up. Can we praise God?